choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hola, amigos. It is another edition of the Sports Hangover. Welcome, and thank you for tuning us in. Got a lot to talk about today, and obviously in the background, really in the foreground of everyone's thoughts and minds, though, of course, is what's going on with Hurricane Delta. We will keep you posted on anything that happens there. Nothing like waking up, unfortunately, to a Cat 4. The good news is, if you're just tuning in and you haven't been updating or following it, latest projections and paths, yes, is in and around this area. But because of favorable water conditions for weakening, it could go from a 4 to a 3 to a 2 to a 1 by Saturday. And that's the thing that I guess I want to pass along as we start the show. We got plenty to get into, normal guests and everything. But, again, it's just a little nuts when you look at it and think about it. Again, it's something that everyone's been talking about, obviously. I know it's pretty much taken most of my morning in terms of things we have to do over the weekend, work-wise, of course, travel. Do you evacuate? Do you not? All those different preparations. So I'm just passing along the latest that I got as well. Because it's a Cat 4 right now, so you're going to see it and you're going to freak. And then it drops down to a 3, gets back to a 4 by Thursday. This is the very latest track that that we have before the next update, so I'm just giving you the latest. And Friday, 7 a.m., 125-mile-an-hour wind, still in the Gulf. And then the next is Saturday, 7 a.m., 80 miles an hour, Cat 1, inland. And right now, just, again, this is just the cone of air and everything, but it has it coming in west of Lake Pontchartrain. So Baton Rouge is somewhere around there, coming in Lafayette-ish. As a 1, though. I think that's the one thing I want to pass along as the day moves on today, goes into the night, and we wake up tomorrow. Definitely prep, get ready. Does not look like it's going to go to Texas or it's going to go to Mississippi. Right now, it looks like it's going to be southeast Louisiana. So be careful. Take your time. Go get your gas. Go get your groceries. Do all that. Be patient. Know everyone's doing it all at the same time. But I guess my news that makes me feel better is that while it's a 4 now, they have it inland, in and around the New Orleans metro area, as a 1 at 80 miles an hour. That's a big difference between 130 and 80. Still dangerous. Still a lot of things to keep an eye on. And it's flying on out of here. So it's going to not strengthen. Once it gets, I guess, closer to land, it's going to get weaker. And 7 a.m. Sunday morning, it's down to 30. So once it gets inland, it's going to drop quickly. That's a good thing. That's one of the things I want to pass along from watching all the reports and listening to all the weathermen and seeing all the tweets. Again, little nerve-wracking when you see Cat 4. You see the track this way. Just want to pass along everything that we're seeing. This is going to weaken as it gets closer to us. And once it gets to us, it will be a 1, not a 4, 3, or 2 right now. Now, again, things can change, but just be vigilant. But that might help you wait and plan. And, again, the track timing went from Friday 2 p.m. over us to basically now Saturday morning 7 a.m. So it's a little further out. Gives us a little more time to wait and see. A little more time. It's Tuesday to kind of prepare and everything. So we'll keep you posted. When the latest tracks come up, the new updates, I'll let you know. So that's what we'll do over the next 3 hours. And we just, this is what it's like to live in southeast Louisiana, right? That's how it works. On today's show, we're going to talk a lot about your New Orleans Saints, of course, and turn our attention to college football. Jordan, we like to say, turn the page Tuesday when it comes to the Saints. And also, though, we have, unbelievably, a quarter of the season in the books behind us. So, Jordan, our question of the day when it comes to your New Orleans Saints, since they're off today, and again, we don't play again until Monday night against the Chargers, what is it?
Saints fans, after the first 4 games of the season, give us your Saints report card, and why did you grade this way? You can report with A, B, C, D, or F.
No incomplete, because Lee yesterday gave us an incomplete.
Yeah, there's no incomplete. Okay. That's not how it is on some report cards.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't been in school in about 20 years.
I think you get a W.
What's a W?
In college, it's a W.
What's a W?
You only get a certain amount of W's. We'll talk about
it. W is withdrawn, right? You withdrew from the class.
But you only get a certain amount.
You can only withdraw so many. You say that as if you've used up all your W's.
No. I knew how to get around the system. I've extended my W's.
The look on your face was like, okay.
No, I haven't extended my W's. But
all right.
The four categories are offense, defense, special teams, and coaching. And you can tweet at us at ESPN Radio New Orleans or call in 800-998-1003.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Easy enough. We'll talk with Amy Just coming up bottom of the hour here. Injuries to the offensive line. We'll give her report cards as well. And we'll go back and look at over what the Lions game was like. And this Chargers game is going to be interesting, right? I mean, obviously huge. This is an obvious statement. Very big for this New Orleans Saints team to get the win going into the bye. I mean, that's obvious. But I do not think this Chargers team is one where you just chalk it up to a nice, relaxing Monday evening, right? They could have beaten the Chiefs. Jordan will tell you they should have. It took a really Mahomes-like play for Kansas City to get that game, right? And they went to overtime. And they were up 17 on Tampa. I mean, it took Tom Brady 5 touchdown passes. You have maybe a more veteran quarterback. Maybe he makes a play or two. Maybe they come out of there with a win. Now, even though in that game, Herbert still did well, made some mistakes, threw some picks. But again, you're thinking a 17-point lead. Normally, you hold on to those. Unless you're the Atlanta Falcons. Oh, boy. Last night, Monday Night Football, Pats and Chiefs did play. Poor quarter. Jordan, this was always my concern. And when I say this, I'm not always my concern, but the concern you think of, obviously, post-Drew, even when people were freaking out about Drew. He wasn't throwing a ball deep. At least he could still play. So, did you see the quarterback play with the Patriots yesterday? They, again, could have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs. They were giving him a run for their money early. Oh, Brian Hoyer, the old legend of Lake Erie. Remember Brian Hoyer? I remember Brian Hoyer. I remember him well. One of those 7-9 seasons. Remember that? The Browns beat the Saints. Brian Hoyer basically played like Tom Brady against the Saints secondary. Remember that? Couldn't stop him. Ran on us. Threw on us. From that point on, he became the legend of Lake Erie, Brian Hoyer. Anyway, he was terrible. Two bad red zone decisions, turnovers, etc. Anyway, Chiefs win 26-10. Pat Mahomes, 2 TDs in the game. And then later on in the evening, are you still ready? I'd like to have a quick interview with you. Can I have a quick interview with you?
With me?
Yes. Let's bring in Jordan Kleber, a.k.a. intern of the Sports Hangover, a.k.a. thinks Aaron Rodgers sucks. And for the last 4 years of your internship, I have told you he's good, and all you have done is tell me he's not. You have spent your entire internship telling me he's better than Breeze.
I see how this works.
That he's not good.
I see
he's
how
a
this
bum.
Works.
And basically, I build him up to be something that he's not.
Where was Aaron Rodgers the past 2 seasons, 3
four
seasons?
4 TDs in the game yesterday. They're 4-0, 30-6. Basically, the entire Monday night broadcast was close-ups of him smiling. Did you see that? It was ridiculous. Every shot, tight shot on the field after a completion, after, what was it, 20 straight completions or something? I forgot. I lost track of all the things he did last night, Jordan. Despite not having his top two receivers, despite not having running back number one, just here's a completion, there's a completion, you get a completion, everyone gets completions. Followed by a tight shot of him smiling. And then he's hugging Matt LaFleur. I mean, just it. Good times in Green Bay. Falcons lost another player to an Achilles. Falcons are a disaster. I mean, like, do you even fire Quinn? By the way, what am I doing right now?
No, stop.
What am I doing?
A rock could have called that.
What am I doing?
A rock could have
called what?
The firing of the Texans head coach.
That's right. Called it on the show yesterday.
Yeah, a rock. A rock could have called it.
Todd, by the way, gave me a new name other than Bubbles. Mr. Hindsight.
Yeah, Mr. Hindsight.
Mr. Hindsight. It's funny how y'all say, everyone, oh, you could have called it. Well, did you call it, though? Did you say it? Did you make the statement? No. So guess who gets to pat themselves in the back? me.
And by the way,
we haven't finished the interview.
Kirk Cousins, faced Aaron Rodgers, and we know how the Viking season has gone so far. So yeah, that was win week one for Aaron Rodgers. Wow, they went against up a depleted Vikings team.
Well,
they played the Lions in week two.
Well,
ooh,
same Lions team that was up 14-0 on the Saints.
Yeah, and you pressed the panic button.
I didn't
within
press
the first
anything.
2 minutes, and we all saw what happened after that.
Jiffing the feelings of Saints fans everywhere,
and they barely squeaked by the Saints without Michael
barely
Thomas.
Barely squeaked by. That's what you're saying, huh? Okay. Bottom line, though, even Sean Payton, your hero, what does he always tell you? You are what your record says you are, right?
And the Falcons,
huh?
Ooh, man, they.
Well,
they won a game against the Falcons.
Same
by only 14 points.
Hey, you know what? Same team that should have been an easy win last year in the Dome, right? And what happened? Do we all remember that happened?
False.
Huh?
That Falcons
team
didn't start
0-3. Doesn't go like that in the NFL. You better show up and play. You don't show up and play, you're going to lose. Period. You don't show up and play, you're going to lose. I just want to know. Again, let's go back to our interview.
You know,
I want to know.
Let's see how they do against the Buccaneers.
Let's go back to – here we go. See, this is your problem. You said it with every other player that I've ever brought up. Who they play. They haven't played anybody. There's no way to ever prove to you that they're actually any good, are there? So I want you to
go
back to the interview.
LSU last year, they proved.
Oh, give me
they proved that they were
you
the
doubted most of the
100
season. You doubted most of the
percent
season.
Best team.
Why do you not? Do you still think Aaron Rodgers stinks?
Well, let's see after the Buccaneers game.
So the Bucks.
What about last year when I was bragging you about Aaron Rodgers? How you were going all
the Bucks
ho-hum
game
about
the
him.
Bucks game is going to tell you if he's good or not, huh? The Bucks game.
And their schedule is easy.
Okay.
They have an easy schedule.
So, no credit is what I'm hearing. That's fine. That's fine. I'm just reiterating
might be the easiest schedule
that
in the
you
NFL.
Think that he shouldn't get any credit for how he's playing. Right? We're going to go with schedule, and we're going to go with what else?
I'm crediting him dumping his girlfriend.
Wow. Being single, huh?
Well, that's what he said. Being single helped him. Not me. Don't shoot the messenger.
You're listening to Raphael a little bit too much. Anyway, Amy, we may hear from head coach Billy Napier. The Cajuns, they're at home this week. They may play. I mean, we'll see what the Storm has anything to say about that. They were supposed to play Appalachian State last week. A COVID outbreak over there with the Mountaineers. Called that one. Touch 'em all, Timmy Grubbs. At 1:15, we'll talk Major League Baseball playoffs. I need an explanation as to how these teams are being used in the bubble. It's crazy. The Dodgers are in Arlington in Texas, while Dodger Stadium is being used by the Astros and A's. You got two East Coast teams and the Yankees and Rays playing at Petco Park. They're used to the East time zone. Let's put them in the West Coast time zone in that bubble. That makes no sense to me whatsoever, by the way. I can't explain it. Bennett Maid, Dodger Stadium, Petco Park, and then the new Ranger Stadium
about,
of the four bubble stadiums.
How about you just worry about your team? Oh, wait. That's right.
Wow.
They're not in the playoffs.
Wow.
Or in the postseason.
Okay.
Sorry, Todd.
All right. Okay. You better hope your what's your little team again? What are they called?
The Braves?
Yeah. You even know how to
– so, at least my team will get by the Marlins.
Head coach Willie Fritz will join us at 1:30. He'll preview Tulane Houston in just 2 days. He'll be playing in Houston on Thursday night, 6:30 ESPN. Juan Kincaid, sports director over at Fox 8, get his take and get his grades and report card on the Saints. Ali Cosell, we have to do it. We'll talk a little NBA Finals. Game 4. Should I get my hopes up, Jordan? Game 4. Should I get my hopes up? Simple yes or no question as we go to break.
Yes.
You think I should get my hopes up? Interesting. Okay. 800-998-1003. It's one of our questions of the day. Who you got tonight, Heat or the Lakers? And the other question of the day is real simple, Saints fans. I want report cards. Grade the offense, defense, special teams, and coaching. We'll get into that next segment. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. You can tweet at us at ESPN, Radio NOLA as well. Next segment, I want grades. We'll go over them. And Let's see if you agree with me or not, how I have my grading. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Greg's SUV clearance sale is going on now. At Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners are all marked down to the lowest prices. Plus, Greg LeBlanc needs your trade-in today to restock our used inventory. Great service, great deals. That's the Greg LeBlanc way. Our goal is to save every buyer $2,000. $2,000. Go to our website and find your perfect ride. That's Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Men, are you having trouble with reduced energy, increased body fat, reduced libido, or even ED? Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengill for Men's Total Health, and these are signs of hormone imbalance. Low T can help impair immune response, cause insomnia, brain fog, and affect overall self-confidence. Pay Men's Total Health a visit today at 3829 Veterans and get tested. They have on-site labs, so you get results while you're there. Hormone balance can help you be your best self, improve quality of life and relationships. Visit menstotalhealth.net today.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, 800-998-1003. It's the way to get involved in the conversation. So what do you think about your New Orleans Saints and where they are right now at this point of the season? First quarter of the season is in the books, right? First four games, they're 2-2. And when you look at the season, 34-23 opening season win against Tampa, I thought was a much better win than I think a lot of people talked about afterwards. Raiders, disappointing. 34-24, were up 17-7. Didn't make adjustments in the second half. Couldn't stop the greatest tight end in Monday Night Football history. It's just disappointing.
Darren Waller.
I thought they came out against the Packers, played very well. Held the Packers to 13 first-half points. Packers got going a bit on offense as the Saints' offense slowed down in that second half. Yet, it was a period in that game. It was 27-27. And the defense got a stop. Gave the ball to the Saints with a chance to take the lead. And then you have the turnover. 37-30, your final there. And, of course, the Saints tacking on that field goal late to try to get that onside kick and make it a game. Lions, 35-29. Saw the defensive pressure that you've been wanting. Cam Jordan finally got his first sack. The Saints rushed for 42 times, over 160 yards. Drew Brees looked more like Drew Brees. 9 different targets of at least one catch. We saw the Emmanuel Sanders that a lot of people were hoping for, and Drew Brees said it's coming. Remember, 2 weeks before against Green Bay, Emmanuel Sanders said what? That's the icebreaker. Well, 6 catches. We saw Tre'Quan Smith make every reception matter. He had 4. 2 in the end zone, 1 to seal the game. Pretty good. And as we mentioned, we saw the defense get a little pressure. We saw pass defenses. We saw quarterback play. And again, you won a game in which you had 6 starters not play. Not 6 players that come in and every night. 6 starters
including your starter corners. You lost an offensive lineman in the game in Ramchek. Who knows how severe that is? Armstead left for a couple of plays. And you still found a way to win. Jordan going down 14-0, and people like you tweeting the atom bomb and jiffing the panic button.
You did not just do that.
I mean, oh, I think all of that taken into consideration. Here's the problem I have if you're going to go with an average team. My overall grade, and I don't know if this makes sense or not, I'm going to say the Saints are a B-. I'm going to tell you why. Because if I go with a C, C is average. I do not think the Saints are an average team. I would argue, and you know me, Mr. Jiffing the way I do and texting y'all the way I do, you and Todd, Jordan.
He's selling y'all a lie.
I'm not selling
He's
anything.
He's selling y'all a lie.
What I'm saying is an average team may not be 2-2. I think an average to below average team may only have a win, if not any. When you consider that even in the game you won to open the season, your best receiver was held to 3 receptions, but you found offense, and even you agreed. Hold on.
The Bears are 3-1, and you think they're below average.
You want to let me finish because you're going to agree with me on this. You agreed that the offense in game 1 should add 40 points. Right? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. You got every NFL analyst on ESPN right now just, you know, bowing down to the Tampa Bay Bucket. Just give them the Super Bowl. Right? Tampa Bay is going to the Super Bowl in the NFC. Best team in the NFC. I told you in that game that defense is legit. Yet you agree with me this offense should have had 40 points. Right? Emmanuel Sanders still hadn't made that connection. They didn't run the football like they had the last couple of weeks. Yet they could have put up 40 against that defense. You agree with me? You do?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're better than average. And then, again, that Raiders game, whether you didn't bring your juice, whether you didn't make the right adjustment, whether you didn't have the right mindset in that game, I don't know. But you were up 17-7. I'll chalk that up to sometimes that just happens in the NFL. What you want from a coaching standpoint is that team to bounce back and be ready and put on a better performance the following week against a very good team. Packers are a good team. You cannot tell me they're not. You can sit here all you want and tell me they've played nobody. That's a good football team. And the Saints led at halftime and were given an opportunity to try to win that game late. Malcolm Jenkins probably played his best game of the season. In a game where you didn't get any pressure, you had one pass defense against the Packers. My point is there's still room for improvement, yet you were tied. Tied with them. But you started seeing the adjustments, at least from the coaching philosophy, running the football more. You finally saw that touchdown pass by Breece to Sanders. Even he, after the game, said, maybe that's the icebreaker. Then you move on to the final game of the first quarter. And you are faced with literally the largest adversity neon sign that is glowing in your face 3 minutes into the game. You're down 14-0. Like that. One offensive play, 14-0. An average team, Jordan, I don't think. Maybe even rebounds from that. Again, you don't have Michael Thomas. Again, you don't have a couple of 6 starters. You realize how hard that is? How talented are you that 6 starters cannot play? And again, that game should have been more comfortable than 35-29. Don't you agree? Would you agree with me on that? That game should have been more comfortable than it was at the end of that game. It should have taken Tre'Quan Smith 2 hands on the football, popped, and hold on to it on 3rd down to win that game. You agree? Offense kind of went new. No points in the 4th quarter. But that game shouldn't have been that close. Don't you agree with me on that?
Yeah.
All right. So I can't say that they're an average team, because I don't think an average or below average team wins the games that they do, stays in the game that they lost, and makes the adjustments and grows and shows that they could be better. Again, if I'm mentioning that six starters are out in that game, you haven't had your best receiver since week one, and you're sitting here at 2-2, feeling and looking like things can get better and improve. And if you can, and I'm going to say it this way, if you can get past the Chargers, they're a good football team. They're making, you know, they're making you earn it. You go into the bye week, take on Carolina, then the Bears, and there's Tampa Tom. Right? That's your first three games out of the break. Niners, Falcons after that. Broncos, Falcons, Eagles, Chiefs, Vikings, Panthers the rest of the way of the schedule. And who knows where everybody will be on that. But my point is this. The Saints haven't been healthy really the entire season. They haven't had the contributions out even when they were healthy. Lattimore hadn't been Lattimore. Cam hadn't been Cam. We're still waiting to see when Marcus Davenport's going to play. My point is there's a lot that I think can get better. So I can't give you a C just yet. I'm going to go B minus. Now, I don't know if that's a huge difference to you, but my overall grade is B minus. The offense, I'm going to go C. Mm-mm. You're going to go what?
I'm going to go B minus.
You're going to go B minus.
And I'm going to say you can't have Drew Brees pulling down your entire offensive grade because your running game has been absolutely amazing throughout the season, mm-hmm. and I think that's what pulls you up to a B minus. But what's holding you down is Drew Brees' game. But what you saw from him last game is the reason why they're at a B minus instead of at a C plus from Drew Brees.
The reason why I'm going with a C or C plus, whatever you want to look at, it's consistency. They've gone to sleep too many times where you've gotten no points. If you were at least giving me field goals in some quarters, I would have. Defense.
So I think you have to grade each game, and then you have to do your overall assessment.
Right. Well, defense. How do you think the Saints' defense have played in four games?
In game one, A minus.
No. The report card is four games.
Yeah, but how you get to that final report card
is what you've
done.
All right. Well, I'm asking you to final grade.
Well, I got to go through each game. Here Tampa, A minus. Raiders, I'm going to say C minus.
The Raiders was a C minus?
Yeah, for our defense.
Oh, my goodness.
D, fine, D. I'll give you a D. Lower?
I think a lot of people might go F. F. Dude, do you remember?
No, I know.
Sean
General,
Payton
yeah,
saying after the game they threw about 10 people at the, they couldn't. No, I think that was an abject failure on defense.
I'm not going to give him a failure.
They absolutely failed. You blew a 17-7 lead and in the second half couldn't get off the field.
I'm between D plus C minus.
I'm going with a big ol' F.
I'm going with D plus. Green Bay, you improved from last game, but you definitely didn't show enough to get you a B. So I'm going to say just an average C. And then Detroit, give me a regular B.
So what are you giving me overall for the defense?
Overall, B minus.
Good Christmas. You're giving the defense a B minus? I'm going C minus, and I'm feeling D. But, again, they've had good halves and a quarter. They just haven't put anything
together. I mean, they had a great game against Tampa Bay. I mean, that A minus has to pull up your grade somewhat.
They had a nice game against Tampa. Again, consistency is the issue. At times, though, even in that game, they would right down the field, there goes Tampa Bay. Special teams. This is how we get to an A overall. That's an A. Had like one missed kick. I know Morstead had a sluggish game or so, but special teams overall, Deontay Harris has played well. You don't feel at all that the special teams is hurting you in this game, in any game. I'm going A.
How are we, like, You're making this way too difficult. You're going to hate me for doing this.
Oh, my gosh.
But are we doing college scoring, or are we doing high school to where it's like a 10-point grading scale?
You have foregone the ability to grade on this one because you just gave me 10 seconds that hurt my head. Coaching, next. I'm going B-. coaching.
Wait.
Because they've made adjustments.
No.
They kept the team together.
No.
They found a way to win. Mm-mm. They made adjustments, found a way to win, have had to play without starters. And other than the Raiders, I thought the game plan, that it's the only game plan out of the four that I have an issue with. After that, Sean's done what I thought he should be doing, using the running backs more. You've seen Drew get a little bit better. But more importantly to me, I think the game plans have been better. I can't. What are you shaking your head for?
What about
how can you tell
me? The Green Bay game. You were in the game, but you still had stupid play call.
What? Where? Where was the stupid play calling?
When you had Drew Brees on, his arm was hot, and
here
you put in Taysom Hill.
Okay.
And he fumbles the football. Why would you take out your star quarterback?
So the guy that's won games for you in the past, now you're going to hold him to one play, huh? That's what we're doing? What if Taysom Hill, what if, like Sean Payton said, that play, if it's executed, he thinks it's a big play. He might even thought it was a touchdown.
Well, it wasn't.
What if he would have scored?
Well, it wasn't.
Okay, so because it was not, now yeah, you... So
it resulted in a fumble.
You're a joke.
And it resulted in ending the game.
I'm going B-minus. B-minus on coaching, special teams an A, defense C-minus, offense C. I'm just going to do an overall grade of a B-minus for the Saints. That's where I'm at. You can agree or disagree. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in throughout the show. You can tweet at us. Then you can make fun of Jordan because he can't even give me a special teams grade. Super easy. Super easy. When you have to bring in the phrase, are we playing college rules when we're grading an NFL team?
Is it
then
college
you
grading?
Have foregone the opportunity to do that.
Is it college grading or is it like regular high school grading where it's a 10-point grading scale where it's a 100 to a 90 or 90 to an 80? Because then that's a big difference of what a C-minus and a
Sports
C-minus
Hangover
is.
Hour 1 is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KIAG. Amy just next on ESPN 2.
Get in on all of the football action with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code GREENY. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. That's code GREENY only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
The United States Postal Service has been around since 1775, and since then, you can rely on the Postal Service to make sure what matters to you gets to your mailbox. You'd think you couldn't improve on that. But now, with Informed Delivery Notifications, you'll know when those important packages and letters are coming to your mailbox, with an email every morning telling you what's on the way. It's the reliability of the United States Postal Service matched with the technology of today. It's time to get peace of mind. Sign up now for free at informeddelivery.com. Informed Delivery. If it's in the mail, it's in your email.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ask for it at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
The graph reminded me of another nickname he gave me this weekend. Not only Mr. Hindsight, but Mr. Out on a Limb. Gave me that one as well. We're getting some grades on social media.
J-Fowl. Yeah, that's not a grade.
What?
At ESPN Radio NOLA. Any chance we could get this trending? Hashtag fire the intern.
I think we can. We can, actually. Amy Just covers your New Orleans Saints for the Times-Picayune and Advocate. Amy, good afternoon to you. How are you? Hello, Amy.
Hello.
Hey, hi.
Hi. Sorry. AirPods.
Sometimes I work, sometimes I don't.
I got you. How you doing this afternoon?
Good. I got like 12 hours of sleep last night. So.
Oh, wow.
Well, I needed it, right? I was like, you know, minus, you know, me personally having a coronavirus scare, I, like Michael Burt, did not get any sleep before the game. And then we had an early flight out the next day. So, yeah.
I hear you. That is true. I would love to know what that is like with a 3-year-old that just doesn't exist anymore. Amy, I want to get to a handful of topics about the game, but just quickly, I'm going to close with asking you, and I didn't send you this earlier, but we're doing report cards today, first quarter of the season. So offense, defense, special teams, coaching, and an overall grade. I gave the team an overall B minus simply because I think a C is average. I think the Saints are better than an average team. They may not even be 2-2. I think they'd be less than that to have to deal with all the different things that they've dealt with, the injuries, the sluggish starts, what have you. And I think there's signs of improvement, room for improvement. So that's where I went there. So we'll close on that. But your overall thoughts on Detroit, you saw a lot of things that I guess Saints fans and media were hoping to see, even the team was hoping to see. It was somewhat on display at Ford Field.
Yeah, so it's a really weird game. I say that because there was so much adversity going into the game. Like, even on Friday, we knew they were going to be out, 6 starters. We knew that was probably going to be a little bit of a mess. And then that showed up really early when the Saints went down by 2 touchdowns in the first 5 minutes of the game. We're like, oh, this could be ugly. And then something clicked, and they turned it around. I don't know if they just found their footing after 2 drives or what, but scoring 5 straight touchdowns without several of your playmakers on offense, like, that's really hard to do when you're at full strength, right? Like, let alone without your arguably 2 of your biggest position or playmakers on offense.
I agree, and I think when you look at really what this team sort of did, I mean, it's surprising when you sort of saw the 5 straight scoring possessions and then think, though, Amy, that they couldn't get any points in that fourth quarter. It's nuts when you think about it, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think part of it had to do with the run game just not being as productive after Ryan Ramczyk left the game. I mean, it's a hard position to put anybody in, filling in for a guy like that, a guy who had only missed 8 snaps outside of not playing in the Panthers game when the Saints just rested their starters 2 years ago. You go from an all-pro to a guy who'd never played any snaps on offense at the NFL level before. You know,
so,
it's going to be a little bit of a drop-off.
Well, and that's what's okay. Moving forward, we won't know, obviously, until tomorrow when injury reports come, even though I don't know what the Saints could be doing. They play on Monday.
Not
so,
tomorrow. It's Monday.
Yeah,
so
exactly. So that's what I mean. We won't really kind of have an idea with Ramczyk. If he doesn't go, where do you think the Saints go?
I think, so, really good timing for the Saints in that Jim Kurtz was reinstated from his suspension yesterday. He had been suspended for the first 4 games of the season due to a PED violation when he was with his former team. So, couldn't have gotten any luckier on that one. Obviously, with concussions, you know, it's not like an ACL, it's not like an ankle sprain. There's no real timetable there because it's different for everybody. So, he could miss a game. He could be out for a while. He may end up playing. You know, you just don't know with concussions. I've had 4, you know, I'm not an NFL player or anything, but I had different reactions with each one. So you have to be patient with those things and know that it's completely different than every other injury that you have in the NFL. And if you can't go, you can't go. But if you can, they like to err on the side of caution. I don't remember last year when Jared Cook left the 49ers game with a concussion and then he played the next week. So, and then other guys have missed 4 or 5 games with these things. So you just don't know. But yeah, getting James Hurst back is good. Now they don't have to make a roster move with him, a corresponding move with him until the 13th. Cause he doesn't count against the 53 right now since it's a, words are hard. He gets to work back slowly with the team this week before the team decides what they want to do.
Gotcha. At Amy underscore just. I gotcha. At Amy underscore just is the way to follow you over on Twitter. Let's quickly go over some of the things that did stand out. You mentioned a run game. 42 carries there. I loved how Sean used Murray. You saw what you could use with Kamara there. But also in the pass game with those two backs, obviously we've seen that with Kamara. It felt like Jamal Latavius Murray got more than one pass on that screen. I'd love to see more of that, actually, give him a head of steam to get going. So I love how he's using the backs right now. I think it's a nice 1-2 punch, and you're starting to get a good feel for one another, I think.
Yeah. So, yes, Kamara and Murray were together last season, but with Kamara not being 100% pretty much all year, that changes things, right? So they have their full complement back there. You want to see Ty Montgomery back there too, obviously, but he's on IR, so that'll have to wait. But the way they're using those two, I think that's what they want. So when we talked to Latavius Murray early in the season last year, he'd never really been a part of the passing game before. So that was something new for him. So to see him, you know, get worked into it a little bit last year and now getting more chances this year, I think that's a good thing. You know, he's never been really considered as a pass catcher, but he can do it. And when he's given the opportunity to, it pays off.
The other two, I think, players that were impressive, Sanders and Tre'Quan Smith.
100%. Sanders, you know, I think this is really, we haven't seen his ceiling yet, right? So every game that he's had so far has been his best game as a Saint. And I think that just comes with time, right? You know, they didn't have OTAs. They didn't have a whole lot of off-season stuff to work on things. Training camp was shortened. So the chemistry that he could have had with Drew in a normal year, they're still playing catch-up on that. And I think you'll continue to see those two thrive together as the season progresses. And then Tre'Quan Smith, all he needs is a chance, really. You know, and last year he was hurt for a significant chunk of it with an ankle injury. And it's kind of like with Alvin. Sure, Tre'Quan isn't, you know, the number one receiver there. But when he's completely healthy, he can do dangerous stuff too. Like, sure, they lost the game against the Raiders. But, like, he had a really big game then too. So when the Saints get their full complement of receivers healthy, cool boy, that position group is going to be scary.
All right, at Amy underscore just the way to follow you on Twitter. Two quick final questions for you. We'll wrap up your thoughts on the Chargers game coming up on Monday. But before that, Amy, the defense, we saw some signs that there was some improvement there, right? I mean, I think that's a tremendous job to not have your two starting corners and still do something. Still no Davenport, but you got three sacks, seven quarterback hurries there, so and pressures. And Cam Jordan finally got off the schneid, got a sack. Look, I know Trey Hendrickson, I think, has played well in the absence of Davenport. At some point, we'll see him. What do you think that means for Trey?
I wouldn't be worried because they've been rotating that defensive those eight guys on the defensive line, right? So, you know, Sheldon and Onyemata are both considered starters, but they rotate, right? So they're only playing like 43-47% of snaps. Those two are. So I think we'll see maybe some of the same thing, especially since Davenport hasn't played yet. He still probably needs to ease into stuff. So Trey Hendrickson isn't going away.
Right.
You know, he's still going to play, and he's still going to make his mark. It's just they're probably going to do more of a rotation thing like they are on the rest of the line. And that's not bad. It's proving to be successful. It's just you have to work with it. But, no, he's not going away. He'll still play. I mean, he did last year, right, when Davenport was healthy. So I just think we'll get a carryover on that. And that's okay.
Let's wrap up with the Chargers here. They could have beat the Chiefs. It took a Mahomes-like play, you know, over there on the road to, I think, get that win there in overtime. And then, man, they were up 17 on Tampa. And when we had a Tampa Bay guy call yesterday in, and he was like, look, Herbert's the real deal. So, it's, you know, again, at this point, every game you got to go out there and earn. We've seen this before in the past, but it'll be an interesting matchup, right? With the secondary, I think a lot of Saints fans are kind of nervous about with pass interference calls. And if Herbert doesn't get any pressure, could he get rolling and going? So I'm kind of curious to see how this game goes.
He could, but the big difference for this one is the Saints know Herbert's coming. When Tyrod, couple weeks ago, Herbert didn't even know he was starting until after the coin toss. So that's hard to scout for when you are preparing for one quarterback and you get another. So that worked to the Chargers' advantage a couple weeks ago. But now that the Saints know what they're getting there, I still think the Saints come up victorious with that one. You know, rookie quarterbacks are going to make mistakes, mm-hmm. especially against a defensive front as talented and as veteran as the Saints' defensive line. And then if you get Marcus Davenport back, as Sean said yesterday on another radio station, that will be likely. You know, that's going to hurt too. So, but I am interested to see how he does. You know, because I've watched him a little bit, you know, these past couple weeks, and he can do some dangerous stuff now. He's not a quarterback to count out, even though he is a rookie.
Amy, 30 seconds here. Give me your overall grade for the Saints through a quarter.
I'm going to say a B because they're better than average, but their top play hasn't yet come to fruition. You know it's possible, but it hasn't been there yet. It's a little grade adjusted just because they haven't had their full complement of anyone at any part of the season. So you're looking for their potential. You may be grading a little bit on their potential, but they're definitely not average, but they're not A grade yet either.
I hear that. That is for sure. I gave him a B minus. So we're around the same ballpark. At Amy underscore Justice, the way to follow over on Twitter. Be careful out there. Do some prep, if you know what I'm getting at. You know what's coming at the end of the week. As always, I appreciate you joining us on Tuesdays, 12:30. Miss Amy Just at Amy underscore Just covers the Saints for the Picayune and the Advocate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24/7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at joeseptic@viscom.net.
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's Workplace Readiness Team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
Hey Nola, it's Zion Williamson, and it's time to show how we won't bow down right here on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Welcome back. Tuesdays, around this time, head coach Billy Napier, the Raging Cajuns, joins us to talk about his football team. Coach, as always, I appreciate the time. Good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm doing good, Gus. How about you, man?
Doing fine. This has been a strange season, obviously, and... goodness, 1 week you're preparing to play Appalachian State, obviously a COVID outbreak over there. You don't play that game. And now we're dealing with the hurricane that's going to be approaching our shores Friday, Saturday. You have a game scheduled to play on Saturday. How difficult is this from, obviously, a coach, player, just team perspective?
Well, it's part of the world we live in, part of life. You know, I think good lessons for our players. I think it'll benefit them down the road. You know, everything's not always going to go perfect, and you got to be ready to adapt and adjust and come up with a new plan. You know, certainly that's what we've done, and we'll continue to adjust. You know, I think try to focus on the things that we can control at this point.
Right.
We certainly have a lot of work to do with our football team.
And I guess, Coach, that's the way you approach it, right? You're 3-0. You're still ranked in the top 25 to 23, and you're still working to get, I guess, better and do those things. And I guess you just have to try to find the bright side of things, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we there's also a lot of great things that are happening. You know, mm-hmm. Certainly. You know, fortunate in a lot of areas. You know, we're going to continue to work and try to make improvement, position ourselves to play our best football the next opportunity that we get.
All right, Coach, so you mentioned you want to get better in a certain amount of areas. Well, what is that list? What would you like to see, I guess, your top three areas that you want to improve as you get back to football here soon?
Well, the big thing is, I think the first way you win is you don't beat yourself. You know, so we're trying to eliminate the turnovers. We're trying to eliminate missed tackles, mental errors, you know, fundamental improvement across the board. I think each position group and each individual player has an inventory of things that they can get better at from a technical standpoint. We got more than three. I got a whole laundry list. I think, right? You know, with the type of offseason that we've had, it's certainly the type of team that we have, I think that we've got a lot of areas that can improve. Veteran players that can play better, a lot of young players that are still developing that need to continue to do that. We've had a mixture of players each week that have been available for the game. So, I think as a staff, you're always adapting to the personnel that is available, trying to put together a plan that can win for you. So, you know, there's going to be tons of lessons. We're going to look back at this and learn a lot from it. But in general, we're focused on improvement and trying to take the next step as a team.
Speaking with head coach Billy Napier, we do so on Tuesdays at Troll 45. His team's 3-0. Getting ready to take on Coastal Carolina right now. That game's set for Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Coach, as you take a look back at what you've seen this season, and we've talked about this on Tuesdays, I think one of the things that you have to be proud of is the never quit attitude, the fighting until the last second. And more importantly, I think for you to be able to get some of those wins as well, including some overtime wins, making plays at the right time. Do you think that's part of this team's DNA of players being able to step up at the right time and the coaching staff having confidence in those players, but also the players having confidence in themselves that, hey, it's time to make a play?
Well, I would like to think so. You know, I think we do have a good core group of players that, you know, were a part of the 11-win season last year. I think the rookies and newcomers that we've added to our team have made us better. We played three good teams as well. I think, you know, Iowa State, Georgia State, and Georgia Southern all have good ball clubs. All those games were very competitive and played down to the last possession. So, you know, I think those are good tests for the team early in the year. We certainly have got a lot of good opponents in front of us. We've got a ton of respect for our next opponent, Coastal Carolina, who's playing a lot better football this year. They've had a good offseason and certainly added personnel and also improved technically and conceptually. So, you know, three games in here, long road to travel, and we're going to try to do that one day at a time.
Coach, it's wrapped up with Coastal. Look, they made, obviously, news nationally. They go up there and beat Kansas on the road 38-23, beat Campbell 43-21, and put up 52 against Arkansas State in their win 52-23. When you put on the tape, what's the first thing that jumps out to you? Is it their offense?
Well, I think they've improved defensively as well. You know, mm-hmm. I think the personnel on defense, a couple key players, inside backer back from injury that missed last year, NC State transfer defensive end. You know, I do think the young quarterback is really a bright spot. You know, he's the guy that's got an unbelievable future. He's played really well, very efficient in the first three games as a redshirt freshman. He's really made them different on offense. I do think they've changed a few things. They've made some tweaks that are maybe making them a little more difficult to defend. They've got a 3,000-yard career rusher at running back.
Wow.
And an NFL prospect at tight end. So they're getting good play in a lot of areas. You don't win convincingly 3 weeks in a row unless you have that. So Coach Chavo's a good coach, and you can see that he's settling in and kind of putting his stamp on his team and his program.
Would you say it's your toughest opponent? I know you mentioned you played some pretty good teams. Would you say this would be your toughest competition to date?
Well, I don't know if you can compare.
Right.
You know, I don't necessarily know that that's the way to go about it. I do know that we have respect for what we see on the film, and it's going to take a great effort this week in preparation, and certainly we're going to have to be on top of our game on Saturday.
And Coach, I guess we'll wrap up with the obvious question again, the elephant in the room. We don't know what the weather is going to be like. It's Tuesday, but I guess all you can do is to prepare and plan on like you're still going to have that 11 a.m. kickoff. Could you possibly kick off later? Is there any talk of maybe moving it to Sunday or anything of that nature? Because, again, the timeline kind of has it in around our areas, Coach, around Saturday morning. So, I mean, I'm imagining those talks are happening on the school, but at the same time, do you just approach practice like we'll see at 11?
Yeah, I think so. Until we get word from the administration, you know, Coastal Carolina's administration will be making that decision, and we're going to do what's in the best interest of everyone involved, keep everybody right. safe. You know, it's part of the deal down here, and certainly this time of year. So we'll adjust. You know, we should reach kind of a point of no return, maybe Wednesday at some point, maybe Thursday a.m. And if the game does get pushed back, we'll adjust mm-hmm. and go from there. But at some point, we're going to play Coastal, and, you know, the time that we're spending on them right now will certainly be valuable.
There you go, RagingCajuns.com, and also on Twitter at RagingCajunsFB. No doubt any update on that game will be posted on Twitter and on the team's website. Coach, in the meantime, you and your team go get ready, the 23rd-ranked Raging Cajuns, to take on Coastal Carolina on Saturday. As always, a pleasure when we chat on Tuesday.
All right, Gus. Thank you, man. Have a great day. I'll see you around.